All right, let's continue, actually. We left off, actually, I'd read the Vitanya Idach as a statement. It's actually a question. So we're a couple of lines below. We're a couple of lines below the end of the Mishnah. The line begins Nimta. So we were talking about various possibilities. What happens? You find a Sefer Torah, a Min wrote it, or a Goy wrote it. Nimtza b'yad min yugonez. We said you find a Sefer Torah in the hands of a min, then you put it in gniza, because maybe the min wrote it, but maybe a regular yid wrote it. Nimtza b'yad erev kuchavim amri lo yugonez. Amri lo koren bo. And others say, so if you find it in the hands of a goy, some say that you put it in gniza. Others say that you can read with it. Now Sefer Torah shekosva erev kuchavim. What happens if you have a Sefer Torah that was written by a goy? Toni chodi yisorit v'tani yiduch yugonez v'tani yiduch koren bo. You have three different contradictory brises. One says you have to burn it, another one says you put it in gniza, and another one says you can read with it, and sure. The answer is like Kasha. The first brayta that says that if a goy wrote it, it has to be burnt, that would be appointed Rabbi Eliezer. He says that the thoughts of a goy are for Avodah Zarah. This comes up for Rashi references in Chulin. If a goy shechts an animal, Rabbi Eliezer would say that it's also bana, because we can assume that he shechted it for the sake of his idol. Similarly,
why can't he say that he didn't shecht it in the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is already an issue?
Because that would be also to eat, but it wouldn't be also bana. According to Rabbi Eliezer, everybody agrees that shechita of a goy is possible to eat. The question is it possible to eat, but you're allowed to have hanah from it, you can use it for dog food, or is it also hanah because he probably did it with an avodah zarah in mind, and in that case, the krevis avodah zarah.
Can't you say that both hanah and...
Why would it be also hanah? Only because stam machsheves avodah zarah, that's what we're saying over here.
And even if he doesn't, the fact that if he doesn't do it the shem avodah zarah, he just doesn't do it in the name of avodah,
then it would be nevela, but it's mutzav hanah.
It would be nevela?
Yes, but it would still be mutzav hanah. Same thing over here with our Sefer Torah. If he didn't write it having of a disorder in mind, yes, yeah, exactly. So that's the one, right? So the Hotatani Yigonez Haitana, who the Tana, the second writer that says that a Sefer Torah written by a goy has to be put in Geniza, here's according to the following Tana, the Tani of Hamnuna Breda Rava Mipashunya. Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs Shekosvan Min Umoser. Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs that were written by a Min. Or there's different theories over here, whether min should be in here or not, because we talked before about min. Or moser, a yid who masters Jews to the goyim, which therefore is the equivalent of throwing off all the mitzvahs.
Even if he committed different averus.
Okay, so there is a good deal of discussion to what extent the dinim of Mesira apply nowadays there is a bit of discussion. Is there a difference in the halachas of Mesira nowadays when we live under democratic governments, etc.? There's a lot of ink has been spilled on that question. This isn't really the place to get into it. But we're talking a classic Moser. Even if he's only Moser with Jews' money, the Gemara explains at the end of Bava Kamma that may well end up putting the Jews' life in danger as well. And therefore, it's considered a very serious avera. So that's what I'm saying. Under a democratic government is a whole different question. That's I'm not getting into right now. But under a non-democratic government, at any rate, and maybe even under a democratic government, that's a different question. But even if he's only most of money, that itself already puts him outside the pale. There's a din by most from Meridin v'loy Mylin, that in a way they're even worse than Goyim is v'loy Meridin v'loy Mylin. We don't try to save when there's pekuach nefesh, but we don't go and try to yeah. But on the other hand, with the most that we do, and the Beis Yosef wants to say that maybe there's a difference between whether he's being moiser lahachis, he knows that it's wrong and he does it dafka to be over on the avera, versus whether he's doing it with tayovin that he has a reason, whatever. Anyway, other achronim disagree with that. Anyway, over kachavim or a guy, the eved or a slave, ish of a katan or a woman or a katan, the kusi. The Yisrael Mumer, or Kusi, or Yisrael Mumer, again, because he's thrown off the yoke of Mitzvahs, all those psulim, shenema uchshavta buchsavta, because the Pasuk says you should tie on the tefillin, and you should write them, which we learn by a hekesh, kol sheyeshne v'kshira yeshne v'ksiva, anybody who is obligated in, or who feels themselves obligated in, tying on tefillin, yeshne v'ksiva, is okay to write them. V'chol she'eine v'kshira, anybody who is not, all these people, some of them are not some of them are not mitzvah in it, like women and children and avadim, don't have the mitzvah of tefillin. Others, like the Yisroel Mumah, have the mitzvah, but they've thrown it off. And they're not doing that, right. And if it's tefillin, then they can't write it either. So therefore, because then, so Obed Kachavim is one of them.
Shira and Shiva go together.
So since we had Obed Kachavim in this list, so according to this Tana, then a Sefer Torah that was written by a guy does not have to be burnt. It's not the shame. We don't assume it was the shame of Eretz Yisrael, but he's not shayach to the mitzvah of tefillin. So therefore, it can't be used. And then the same thing with the Sefer Torah.
You have
to put it in Gemizah. I mean, you can't use it for reading.
It's not Kriya, but can you sell it to?
Who's going to sell it to? Who's going to buy a Sefer Torah that can't be used? Okay, but once we know it by mezuzah, then Tosfos says it applies across the board. It applies to Sefer Torah and Tefillin as well. Tosfos actually brings, Rabbi Natan brings, that based on this, Rabbi Natan says that this actually is not specific only to Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzahs. More generally, only somebody who's chayav in a mitzvah is able to do it. Therefore, he says, for example, that women can't bind lulav and will make tzitzis. They don't have the mitzvah of lulav. If the mitzvah says Sheshah is not a drama, so is tzitzit, therefore they can't make them. In Shulchan Aruch it brings that as an opinion. There's a different opinion that it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not a problem, because even though it's true women don't have the mitzvah of tzitzit, but they're not, first of all, either maybe this drasha only applies to Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzahs, or maybe that they may not have the mitzvah, but they're still part of the Jewish people who have the mitzvah collectively. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. Technically, it is kosher for women to put tzitzis on garments. Nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch, it says it's better to be machmir if possible. They talk about an interesting other thing. An interesting thing that's brought in some Sifrei Halacha of Achronim. Somebody who doesn't put on Rabbi Natan's tefillin, can they write Rabbi Natan's tefillin? Or do you have to have only a sofer who actually puts them on himself can validly write it? You can find opinion on both sides of the issue. Anyway. So that's the second, right?
There's no obligation to put on Rabbi Natan.
That's one way of looking at it. There's no, the halacha has been passed in like Rashi, putting on Rabbi Natan's tefillin as a midas chasidus, therefore it shouldn't matter with it. On the other hand, the other way of looking at it is that no. The fact is they're not the kshira. They don't hold that there's any inyan in Rabbi Natan's tefillin, therefore they can't write it. It's fine, yeah. The Hadatanya Kodenberg, and then the third Raisa that says that a Sefer Torah that was written by a goy, you can lean with it. It's kosher a Sefer Torah. That is high Tanahu. That goes according to the following Tanya. The Tanya, Loikin Svarim and Ovid Kukhovim B'chomlok, but another Raisa says that you can buy Sefer Torah from goyim in any place, or we'll watch you Ksuvim Kilchasim as long as they're written Talacha. Or Maisa B'Ovid Kukhovim Echa B'tzidon Shayyu Kursi Svarim, it happened with a certain Ovid Kukhovim, who was in Sidon, who was writing Sfarim, Sefer Torah, the Hitzer, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lishach Menor, Rav Shimon Gamliel allowed them to buy them from him. So the third Braisa that we quoted before, that says that a Sefer Torah written by a goy, you can lay in, that would be according to this Braisa. We're going to talk in a second what we mean by he was an Ovid Kachavim, but on the face of it, Ovid Kachavim means like it does any place else in Shas, it means a goy, but wait.
It means a goy or a
Wait. The question is, Rav Shimon Gamliel ibud l'shman boi, k'siv l'shman loy boi. So what you're telling me then, Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that the parchment of Sefer Torah has to be panned, that's the paired l'shma, but the writing does not have to be done l'shma. Everybody agrees that the tanning of the leather has to be done l'shma.
So of the
parchment for yeah. So are you telling me that Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that that is required, but the actual tefillin don't have to be written l'shma? Or no, it's not a question, actually, it's a statement. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ibud L'shman Boi, K'siv L'shman Loi Boi. Rav Shimon Gamliel, it is actually a question, sorry. D'tanya, means that the cloth has to be prepared, L'shma, yeah. L'shem, tefillin, or Sefer Torah, or whatever, yeah. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Sifon Zahav, if somebody plated the tefillin with gold, or he covered them with the skin of a trefa animal, of a non trefa doesn't mean, it can be a nevela, it can be a nevela or trefa, trefa meaning a behemoth mea, like a horse or a chazer or what have you. Solos, then they're possible. Or behemoth mea, tohoda, kshayris, but if you made the bottom of the tefillin out of the skin of a behemoth tohoda, they're kosher. even if they were not panned Lishman, Lashem Mitzvah Tefillin, Reb Shimon Gamliel Leimer, Afilo Or Behemoth Tahor of Psalus, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says that no, even the skin of a Behemoth Tahor is possible, Adshi Abdu Lishman, unless it's panned Lishman. So you see, he requires that even the casing of the Tefillin is done Lishman, and therefore the same thing with the parchment. No, so it's a question. How is it that when it comes to the tanning of the leather and the parchment, he requires in fact done lishma, otherwise he says it's still an apostle, but he seems to be saying the writing doesn't have to be done lishma because he says the writing can be done by a guy. Tosfos asked the question that maybe the Gemara could have said that usually when leather is tanned, it's not done for the sake of tefillin. Therefore, in order for it to be used for tefillin, you have to have that in mind. Whereas tefillin themselves, mistamal, when you're writing them, you're writing lishman.
But both have to be written
lishman. No, the point is, in other words, Tosfos is saying, why doesn't the Gemara answer that with tefillin, you don't need to explicitly say lishman, because by default, we can assume it's lishman. Whereas tanning leather, by default, is not done lishman, because leather is used for lots of purposes. Okay, so Tosfos leaves the question. The answer is, Amar Rav Bashmu Ger Shechazel L'Surai. What we're actually talking about over here, that case where Reb Shimon Gamliel said that there was this Ovid Kechavim who was writing Sefer Torah, and Reb Shimon Gamliel said you can buy them from him, he wasn't an ordinary Ovid Kechavim. The Ger Shechazel L'Surai. He was a Ger Tzedek, who had gone back to his old ways. So he had originally been a Goy, he became a Ger, and now he went back to his old ways of being a Goy.
He wasn't a Ger.
Well, he is, because a yid is a yid remains a yid. So wait, the question is, l'surai kol shekein d'havelei min, if he went back to his old ways, doesn't that effectively make him a min? Doesn't that make him that now he's even more strongly bound to his old religion than before? Amar Rav Ashi, shechozer l'surai mishum yira. Yes, but we're talking about that he went back to his old ways out of fear, because the goyim were going to kill him. He was in fear for his life. So therefore, in other words, so he knows. So if he was a goy, in other words, a goy can't validly write something lishma because a goy can't have the intention lishma. But here, where he is still considered a yid, he's chazal l'suray. Therefore, outwardly he appears to be a goy, but he knows they have to be done lishma. So as long as he does it lishma, then that's fine. Well. Yes, in Shulchan Aruch it brings this. However, it also brings, the Magen Avraham says there's a difference, though. Does this person at least still put on tefillin in secret? If he does, fine. If he doesn't do even that anymore, and he has the ability to, then we would go back to what we said, if he's not putting on tefillin himself, how can he write them?
He could be killed, maybe.
Yeah, we're talking about if it's a situation, like, for example, the Muranos in Spain or whatever, where he could do it in secret. If he doesn't, then that's a problem. In secret, though, we're talking about. If the situation is, this is the Magen Avraham was talking about, now it's everybody's in Shulchan Aruch. If it's a situation where he could do it in secret and he chooses not to, then that's different. Okay. Turn it up on him. Malin b'dmein ad k'day tarpik. You learned in the Mishnah, we said that you don't overpay for specific Torah that's filling with because of tikkun olam. However, you can overpay for them up to a tarpik. My tarpik, Amar Rav Sheshet, is istira. It means an istira, which is, Rashi says, a sela medinis. A sela medinis. We learned in Ksubis last year that they had two different kinds of silver coinage in those days. One kind was called Kesef Tzuri, which was more or less pure silver, and the other one called Kesef Medina, where one-eighth was silver and the other seven-eighths was copper. An istira is a sela medina. It's a sela which contains one-eighth of that sela is silver, and the rest of it is copper. It's seven-eighths is copper. It's the equivalent in value of one-eighth of a sela tzuri, therefore. It's a half a dinner. Yes. So it's worth a half a dinner. So it's not a large amount, but something. So that's the amount you're allowed to overpay for them. On the side over here, there's Tosfos Yeshanim that says that actually, no, the Gemara means something entirely different. It means that if somebody is writing tefillin and he's going to be selling them, how much profit is he allowed to make? Only a tarpik. There's nothing to do, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, with overpaying for tefillin. Tosfos mentions the question, if you're saying that a tarpik is the amount you're allowed to overpay for them, what's the logic to say that it should be the same for Sefer Torah, which are worth much more than tefillin and mezuzahs? Why should you? I mean, on the face of it, it should be proportional. On the face of it, it should be proportional. The Tosfos says, in fact, you're right. It only applies to tefillin and mezuzahs. Sefer Torah would have to be some proportional amount. Other Mefarshim answer that no, since the Gemara said before the possibility that you might have to just put the thing in Gniza anyway, you anyway can't use it for laning in the future. So therefore, maybe we would say the same thing for Tzitzit. The Gemara tells a case. Hahi Tayosa, there was an Arab lady. She brought a small bag of tefillin, chabaya, to sell them to him. Amalah, so he says to her, Yahavasli Resh Resh Batamri, will you give me each pair of them for a date? A date as a fruit?
In exchange,
yeah. So you give me each pair and I'll give you one, then I'll give you one date. Imli Azihara, she got angry. Shakla Shatasinu Banara, she took them and threw them into the river. Omar Sabai said, I shouldn't have spoken so cheaply about them to get her angry like that. So therefore we learn from this, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, when you're buying these things from Goyim, don't overpay for them, like the Mishnah said. But on the other hand, don't offer too little in order that the Goy doesn't just say, forget about it and throw them away. Yeah.
Was he hung up for that?
I mean, he didn't know. It was an onus, I guess. But yeah. I'll just mention two things about this real quick. One is Reb Levick has in Torah Levi Yitzchak, he has one of his Kabbalistic explanations on Gemara is on this little piece over here. He explains in great detail every detail of the story without getting into it. He has a long explanation about what the woman represents, what fire represents, etc. One thing he mentions in this case, he says that Gemara says it was Chaisa the Tefillin, a sack of Tefillin. He points out that Chaisa is the same gematria as the word Chochma Bina Chesed Gvura, which are the four moichin, which there's a mimer in the Alter Rebbe Siddur that explains the deeper idea behind the four parashiyos and tefillin. They represent those four aspects of moichin. Those are all encapsulated in the word chaisa by gematria. The other thing is just a cute story I once read of a businessman someplace in New York. One day is in a store, and a guy comes in with a pair of tefillin to sell him. Obviously, he stole it from some other yid's car or whatever. The storekeeper opens up the bag, and he starts yelling at the guy, what is this? You're trying to cheat me? There's only one half of it over here. There's one for one arm over here. Where's the one for the other arm? And the kid gets all flustered, and the yid tells him, you know what, look, I mean, you know, you're only bringing me a half a thing. It's not really worth that much. I'll give you $5 for it. And he gives it to him, and then he's able to look up the name on the bag, and then return it to the owner.
Yeah.
He brought him a show yavna show rosh.
He
said it's only a half. There's supposed to be more in here. Yeah. Jewish brains, you know, sometimes you can get away with offering a cheap price. Yeah.